right. Chapter 20. Guidance. Thou our guide. So Packer says he starts with many being concerned that their guidance, that our personal guidance has been missed or not given. He goes into reasons for that. Do you all have thoughts on that? I found it interesting.
I've got to get this off my chest, Robert.
Please do.
Please excuse me if you have differences with what I have to say. But this chapter spoke to me more than any chapter that I've read in the book. And granted, I haven't read all of it.
That's okay.
But it spoke to me personally, but then I also thought about it organizationally. And I really feel like this should be required reading for session. I served on session when we went through the two service fiasco. We voted 3 months before the actual announcement was made, while we continued to lose members here in the church, of what we were going to do. And we kept saying that we were looking to discern the mind of Christ. And even to the point that we were looking to be spoken to about discerning the mind of Christ. And I think Packer lays forth in this chapter, at least in my opinion, the proper way to discern the mind of Christ. And I think that if we had done that as a session, that we would still have members here in the church that we've lost. And so for that reason, I'd just like to ask for those that continue on with session or whatever, that maybe you might consider this as required reading for the members of session.
I would supplement that with comment that I believe God's guidance is always there, and it's really up to us to listen for it. He doesn't fail. He's got a plan, and he's willing to communicate a lot of that to us, and it's there for the listening.
For me, this chapter also, enjoyed reading it very much so. For me, when the first two things here is missed and not given, I think somehow, and I didn't always think this way, but somehow in the last couple of years I thought that it had to be supernatural. And I wasn't getting it, and I was getting frustrated, and I was feeling like, what am I doing wrong? And so when I read this chapter, I learned a lot, but I also felt very comforted by it, that I just felt comfort by reading this, because I was waiting for some big supernatural, and it just wasn't, you know, as far as my prayers and asking for guidance and intervening and things like that, and it just wasn't happening, and I was frustrated, and I don't know, but this chapter was very helpful to me.
Thank you. The mind of Christ. Anybody wants to know it? Kind of right there. So, thank you both for your sharing. Thank you, Larry. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us again. Mighty God, you've already moved this morning. I thank you. God, humble us. Draw us to your word, God, to your genuine guidance, not to how we feel or what we think and our opinions. As we read in your word, you are not helped by human hands or human minds. We do not need to fix what you are doing. God, we need to submit and follow you. God, allow us, even cause us to do so, according to your word, by your spirit and your grace. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, and that's our prayer for our church. That's where we find unity. It's not in the ways he tells us we miss guidance, but by uniting around scripture and what does he really tell us. So. Yeah, well, that was helpful. So what Packer's saying is we miss for not looking. More or less. We do know Psalm 119, 105, we'll come back to that, that his lamp, his word is a lamp unto our feet. It is how he has communicated with us since he created us. God created man and gave the word, gave us communication. Yes, ma'am.
Well, just even that the phrase that you read in even in Acts 17, that we should seek God, perhaps we might grope for him and find him, that bothered me a little bit. And then I thought, well, the reason we're groping is because we're in darkness because of our sin. And it's like, you know, at nighttime when you're looking for that light switch.
Yes.
And you're just touching it. But you see what he's doing is he is helping us and maneuvering us so that we find that light switch.
Yes.
We don't know it, but that's what he's doing.
Yes.
And then we flick on the light.
Okay.
And
yeah.
So that is not, that's kindness that he would help us as we grow. We're not even aware of it sometimes.
So I read something, probably been about 2 years ago. And the man said, the Bible is merely a book. And I took issue. It's like, wow. But I kept reading. And he said, apart from the Spirit of God dwelling within you, it is indeed just a book. Because there are dead men every day telling you what the scriptures say. There are people reading the scriptures every day that do not accept Christ, that do not understand what scripture says. And some of them are even teaching people what it says, and they are wrong. So if the Spirit is not awakening you supernaturally, this book will not benefit you. It is the Father, through Christ, the Word, by the Spirit. It's true. So yeah, we do grow until he turns the lights on for us, and that is the Holy Spirit coming to dwell with us. And that is our absolute need of salvation, to be born again believers. Paul assumes and says new creation. Jesus assumes new creation. You ever been around a new believer and what a pain in the butt they can be sometimes? I'm kind of being funny, and they're convicting too. They're eating it up. They're like, wow, 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 wow. Wait, look. You know, and they're stepping all over my complacent toes. I'm like, well, yeah, I know, you're right. But sometimes I push them away because they're driving me crazy. Jesus expects us to be new believers till we die. Our world and our wealth, especially in the States, we have control of a lot of things. We abandon ship, I think, a lot of times and live by our own ideas and our own means. I'm not praying for my daily bread. I got a house full of bread. I don't need to wonder where my groceries are coming from. I don't need to wonder how much fuel I have. I don't even care how much it costs at the pump. I mean, I do, but it doesn't stop me from filling up my truck. I got to get where I'm going. My world revolves around me. And we move ever so slowly, sometimes fast, but we move into lukewarm. And that's a dangerous place for us to live. We stop seeking the mind of Christ when we think ours is sufficient. And then we start harming each other, we start harming ourselves, we start acting foolish, and we start disputing, we start lying. James, read James 1. All of James, really. That's what he's dealing with. You've become selfish. We begin to devour each other. So, forgive me, now I'm preaching a sermon that isn't even related. But yes, thy word is a lamp unto our feet. Tiger didn't say that. I threw it in there. So. And we do miss. However, God did not fail to give us guidance. He has indeed given it. And that's what we're talking about. We carry it around with us. Divine guidance presupposes two things. God has a plan and God communicates. I gave everybody the scripture, so would somebody please be kind enough to read Ephesians 1, 7 through 10?
I'll read it.
Thank you.
In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth.
That's some serious guidance right there. What about Ephesians 3, 10 through 12? Would somebody please read that?
So that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was according to the eternal purpose that he has realized in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him.
That's another really strong statement. God made known to the rulers and authorities through the church, through us. God is testifying to the heavens, to the demons, to the unseen world. God is testifying, this is crazy, of his goodness to everything we don't see by us who are seen. How are we doing with that? Are we following the directions? I had a pastor preach a sermon one time. We were visiting a church. And he said, if we're playing baseball, what are we doing kicking this black and white checkered ball around? He said, well, does the outside world look at us and see that we are playing the game we say we're playing? It's a good question. And I think it would be good for us to be asking that for ourselves and, quite frankly, for our church right now. What game are we playing? Is it ours or is it his? Forgive me, there's a lot going on, so, and it's on all of our minds. But he has given us his plan, and he's told us the purpose of his plan. He's not just doing Karate Kid, wax on, wax off, you know, and we're frustrated, though sometimes we are. But he has really told us the end game. We are the end game. We are the end game. Christ reconciling us to fellowship with the Father by his Spirit, because all through the Old Testament we couldn't do it. And he has made it possible now by the perfect sacrifice. I can't imagine how they felt. You've got to have a perfect goat or a perfect lamb to sacrifice to gain access to God. We know. Are there any perfect animals out there? That would be kind of terrifying. That would be a solemn experience. People were bringing their wounded and their sick that were going to die. But there were honest people that were bringing the best that they had, knowing that that animal was not perfect and that their access to God depended on that animal. We have Christ who is perfect. Not just was, but is. And that we have access. We have access to the throne. We have full access to the mind of Christ. And to the degree that we can walk in obedience, we have joy and access to each other. So, God communicates. Genesis 1:26. That is not on our list. It is, I can tell you what it is. We're going through the creation in Genesis. God is making the fruits, the animals, everything according to its kind. And he stops at the creation of us. And he says, let us make God in our image.
Let us make man.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
There are some people who think they are.
It's true. No, that's it. You're right. Forgive me. But let us make man in our image. So we have been made in the image of God. We forfeited that image. Christ came to restore that image, that fellowship. God made us in his likeness. We got the birds of a feather analogy, like-minded, you know, great minds think alike. He made us in his image for that purpose, that we might have fellowship with him. The stars and the creation and all that stuff are actually setting times and days for fellowship with him. Even before the fall, he created this world for fellowship with us. And he does communicate. He gave us prophets, preachers, teachers. And if you look again in Ephesians, I didn't put it in here, but for the edification of the body, for unity, for bringing us together in the knowledge of Christ, who is the head of us. Isaiah 58:11. If somebody would read that, it's the middle.
I will. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail.
Whose waters do not fail. That is actually referencing other scriptures. One of them is Exodus 17:6. If someone would read that.
I will. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water shall come out of it, and the people will drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel.
And Psalm 1:3, if somebody would read that.
I'll do that. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaves do not wither. In all that he does, he prospers.
So the watered garden that Isaiah is talking about, He's speaking ahead and back. He's looking back, testifying to the water that came out of the rock, which was God's provision for sustaining life. They would have died. And it wasn't just a glass of water, it was a stream. God opened and released a stream from the top of Mount Sinai, is where this is believed to have taken place. So he's referencing Christ. And then Psalm 1:3 also speaks of the water. And it is also speaking of water. But it is speaking water that nourishes. They both are a nourishing water, but Psalm 1:3 is, if you read Psalm 1, it is about a nourishing God. It's a picture of Christ. He is nourishing and growing the true king into kingship, but he is offering us that same water. In every paragraph of the scripture, we are being offered life. So not only has he communicated, but he has communicated inviting us to life. And then page 233, it's just a quick one. In the middle, I'm going to read it. Packer says, again, God seeks his glory in our lives, and he is glorified in us only when we obey his will. When we follow the guidance, we bring God glory. And we live. We benefit. You know, you read the Ten Commandments. Those are all good things. We know that. We're not disputing that those are good things. Christ enables us. That is the embodiment of Christ's person. He is all-powerful, and yet he exercises none of those wrongs. He is for us. And he has come to make us more like him, that he may be glorified and that we may live. So it made me think of the catechism as well, obviously. What is the chief end of man? Man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Enjoy him. Enjoy him. I got to tell myself that. I miss that. And I would dare say that you all got to tell yourselves that too. My wife, she's joyful all the time. I don't have to tell her, cheer up. I have to tell her to slow down. But I need to be reminded that God says, enjoy me. That's a big deal. That's part of what he has communicated to us. All right. How we receive guidance. Will-o'-the-wisp. How many of you guys have heard that before? I've never heard that. I'm much younger than this book, but I found that to be funny. I got what he meant, but it did make me laugh. So what's he getting at in this section? He gives us reasons why we miss guidance or why we don't see it, and he gives us reasons or ways how we can. What do y'all think about this section? Or did we already cover that? So it's not willy-nilly. It's not how we feel. We will feel. When God's moving, we feel. If you don't feel when God moves, you got a big problem. It's not an inward prompting of the Holy Spirit that doesn't line up with the Word. God does not speak to us apart from His Word. Jesus Christ is the full revelation of God. He's not withheld anything from us. we read in the New Testament about the mystery, there's mystery, but that mystery is the mystery that they did not see in the Old Testament. It has been revealed to us. Christ has come. We are indeed reconciled with God. We turn to him. That's the requirement. And he makes us new, changing us every day. That's why we can't get lukewarm. If we are really a believer, the Holy Spirit is in us and moving and prompting us. We can have seasons. We have backslides. We do all kinds of things. We're people. And we act accordingly often. But God is faithful, and he does not leave us. He doesn't leave us in our first salvation, and he doesn't leave us in our sanctification. You all know what that means, correct? Those aren't too big of words. He saves us, justifies us, and then makes us like him in holiness. He does not expect us to agonize over everyday decisions. Life is not a field of this or that choices necessarily. He's made himself known. If we act in character, we know right and wrong. We're reasonable people. There are a lot of things that it doesn't matter what we do. You want a Ford or a Chevrolet? You want to go to this college or that college? You want to choose this job or that job? You don't get to not choose a job. but you can choose where you want to be. And then I'm getting a little bit ahead, but he keeps his people. If we make the wrong decision, we will learn. We will now make the right one. And okay, that was my mistake. There's grace. There's grace. He has saved us, and he keeps us. It's kind of ridiculous. The way that God is involved in our everyday life. We don't have to be fearful about choices. We can trust. When things are going good or bad, we can trust. Sometimes we can redirect. Sometimes pain is there to say, oh yeah, wrong choice. Sometimes pain is there to say, you've been making the wrong choices, and now you get to walk through this. I love you, I'm with you. Kind of like parenting. I mean, he refers to himself as a father. Most of us have kids. We've all told our kids right. Even told them some wrong. Like, oops. Sorry, son, that's yours. I can't fix it for you. But God is a good father, and he knows, and he gives us guidance. And sometimes our children have to walk through difficult stuff. I know I did. I know I still do. I make a wrong decision, I get to walk that baby out. I raised my kids in school. They wanted to cut corners and do things. And I said, so I can't make you do anything. But I promise you that you are the consequence bearer for that which you decide to do. So know what you're doing. Know why you're doing it. And I'll be here to help you walk it out if you mess it up. But you get to walk it out. And God is that way with us. He's given us repeated. So we don't have to be fearful. Even if we make mistakes, he's with us. He calls a lot of this will-o'-the-wisp and the inward prompting apart from the word and the agonizing over decisions, lunacy and foolishness. A lot of times it's just not trusting God, or it's choosing not to make a decision and calling it spiritual. We do that too. And we get to F. What conduct of this sort shows is a failure to grasp that the fundamental mode whereby our rational Creator guides his rational creatures is by rational understanding and application of his written word. And that's on page 235. So he's given us his word. the true way to honor the Holy Spirit as our guide is to honor the Holy Scriptures through which He guides us. He gave us the instruction manual. You know, that's the law translates to be instruction as well as it does to law. I think we call it law because it's law like gravity. You can reject gravity. You're still going to fall. It's a law. God's word is a law. He made everything, the world and everything in it, the heavens, all of it. His word is a law. He told us how to get by. We can do it, or we cannot do it. Frankly, we can't do it without Christ. But in Christ, we have freedom to choose. We have been made new. We are brought to life. We are actually the living among the dead. We go out, have lunch, do whatever we do. We're the living among the dead. It's really that simple. We should not be bumbled and lost. We should be looking at His Word and navigating accordingly. And the dead are supposed to be looking at us, as well as all the creation that we don't see, supposed to be looking at us going, wow, that is an awesome God. I want that. Christianity is walking out what God has given us. Be transformed by the washing of the Word, Paul tells us repeatedly. Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Yeah. And I'm not going over today. How's that? So, yes, let's gather up and pray and ask God to indeed guide us. What's that?
The pitfalls was the best part of the chapter.
Oh, am I skipping a section? All right, I lied. And a lost one. Look at that. Look at that.
Sorry, coffee hour.
That's okay. Thank you. So the common pitfalls: unwillingness to think or apply what He's given us. We've kind of covered them. Unwillingness to think ahead. Unwillingness to take advice. That's a tough one, huh? I know better than everybody I know. How can they give me advice? Unwilling to suspect oneself. Could I be flawed? Could I not be thinking clearly? Surely not, right? Ask ourselves why we feel or want a particular course. Oftentimes it's because we want. We have great peace when things are going our way, don't we? I really have peace about this. It gives me what I want. Surely, none of us have done that, right? The last one was interesting. Unwillingness to discount personal magnetism. Possibility of being misled by someone who you like. Or I wrote, project goodwill. We do that, don't we? People are saying what we like, what we want to hear. People can speak to our emotions. People can listen to us, know what we like, and speak to that. And run us like dogs. It's amazing. You can read books on it. How to steer people. And I think when Packer wrote this, we had a little different society. There probably wasn't as much maliciousness. Sure didn't have the internet. Again, though, if we are knowing our scripture and the mind of God, we are really hard to steer. If we know what our Creator, God and King, has said to us, it is going to be hard to steer us. I've said it before, the church in America, at least, has a ton of scripture that they memorized. Most of it's not in context, and most of it's what they heard from somebody. A preacher used it this way or said it that way, but our knowledge is fragmented. We don't have an integral understanding of scripture. We miss the mind of Christ, and we're just kind of getting it from each other. It's not the mind of Christ, it's the mind of Robert. You know, even these scriptures, I printed them out for you, but I could have changed one word. I could have got a faulty translation and put it in there unknowingly. One word can change the meaning of a sentence, even a paragraph, and set a tone for a whole book. We are called to be aware of that. The New Testament talks all day about false teachers, how to spot them, how to be aware of them, be careful. It says repeatedly, they will come from within. As Christians, we have a responsibility to know God for ourselves. It's actually a beautiful thing. We're free, and we're guided, and we're kept. God keeps us. So, yeah, dig in. No simple answers. Correct guidance does not guarantee ease. It's kind of the opposite. Jesus said, when you suffer. He didn't say if. When the storms come. They're coming. We're in one, right?
I like the sentence that says, when in doubt, do nothing but continue to wait on God. When action is needed, light will come.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
God's light.
Yeah, sometimes we get worked up. We think we have to fix it, don't we? We've got to do this or we've got to do that. We have the freedom to wait until we have understanding to move.
See, He gives us understanding.
Mm-hmm.
Not our doing.
It's a fact. That's hard. A lot of us are doers. We've picked ourselves up by our bootstraps. We get things done. Sometimes God tells us to wait. We don't do well with that sometimes.
But who's right?
Who's right? In what scenario?
In your statement you just made, we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. But aren't we to wait for God to,
yes,
to,
yeah,
help us, not to do it ourselves?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We are in the habit of acting without God. And He is right. And we don't often consult Him.
God is God and we are not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But with our wealth and our freedom, we've kind of made ourselves God.
We can change.
We can. And He calls us to. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. That's the call. Yeah. Be transformed. Yeah. By the Word. You are absolutely right. More? You. Okay. Yeah. It's true. Be transformed. Be the new creation that we are called to be. It's difficult. Paul was guided towards persecution. At any time, he might have been thinking, uh-oh, did I make the wrong decision? But he didn't. And he knew he didn't, because he knew God was in control. So Isaiah 55:9, I will read it. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. And that's what you were saying, Lord. God handles and thinks about things very differently than what we do. So we act according to his word, and it's very foreign and misunderstood to us. He calls us to obedience. And when we miss, we're free to recognize it. We are called to repent of it, and it's a regular thing. Obey according to what we have seen, and rejoice. He's for us. He's for us. So now we can circle up. Almighty God, care for us, everyone. Father, keep us, everyone. Your ways are indeed not our ways. God, and we do not understand your thoughts except to the degree that we will embed ourselves in them. Thank you that you have given them to us. Father, you call us to faith. You call us to walk in faith. God, we need that. We need your help. God, we thank you for reconciliation by your Son and by your Spirit, God, that you would enable us to follow your word and trust your goodness. You are involved in all that we do and say. Father, save us. We ask you this in Christ's precious name by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.